With that said, if I can invite you this morning to turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. And if you happen to be using one of the Bibles in the seats, you can find our text for today on page 888. Once again, that's Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 26. And this is God's word. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was a student in seminary, I ran into a wall during my third semester of taking New Testament Greek. Leading up to that point, I was doing all right. I was decent. I was pretty good at vocabulary. I was okay at parsing verbs. But during my third semester, all of a sudden, it was all about grammar and syntax, conjunctions and clauses and sentence diagramming, and all of a sudden my Bible started looking like a calculus textbook, and I had no idea what I was doing. So like most people would do in a situation like that, I went out and I purchased a little handbook with a clever title, something like How to Ace New Testament Greek. The only problem is that the handbook was just as confusing, and it didn't help me at all. And so when that didn't work, I got a couple of my classmates, we gathered together, we had some study sessions, we're like, we're going to figure this out together. The only problem is that all of us were lost and confused. And so our study sessions turned more so into a group emotional support group. So finally, when I reached what felt like my end, embarrassed and desperate, I scheduled an appointment with my professor, and went and met him in his office. I remember sitting there next to his desk and just feeling so defeated and just sharing how lost I felt and how much I just felt like I was an imposter, that I just would never figure this out. And of course, my professor said something like, "Why didn't you reach out to me sooner?" And for the next 30 minutes, with his really inky fountain pen, he walked me step by step how to diagram a single verse from the book of Galatians. He basically held me by the hand, and he taught me a new skill. By the end of the semester, as difficult and painful as the class was, Greek ended up being one of the most rewarding experiences that I had during my seminary years. Now, here's where I'm going with this. For the past 2 weeks, in some sense, we've been, as a church, in the school of prayer. 2 weeks ago, we examined and we studied Jesus' prayer that he taught his disciples, also known as the Lord's Prayer. And then last Sunday, we took a look at Jesus' parable of the persistent widow that challenged us to always pray and not lose heart. But here's the catch. Even though we've obtained some fresh knowledge and some data points and some information about prayer, the truth of the matter is that we still have days when we run into a wall. When the words don't come and our minds draw a blank. Days when we get blindsided by life, or a weighty decision falls in our lap. Should I do it? Should I not? Should I go? Should I stay? And all of a sudden, you feel like you're back at square one when it comes to prayer. And your lips won't even move except to let out a deep sigh. I guess what I'm trying to say is that we all have days when we can use some extra help. Days when it'd be really nice for an expert to step in and help us to pray. Well, church family, I have some good news for you this morning. In our passage for today, Paul, he tells us that those who are in Christ, we have a divine helper in the third person of the Trinity, meaning in the Holy Spirit. And he writes explicitly in verse 26, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us." And here we find already our big idea for today's text. It's super simple, but it's critically important. When we don't know what to pray, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. When we don't know what to pray, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. As amazing as this promise is, I mean, this is an incredible promise. This is a remarkable truth in Scripture. Nevertheless, it still leaves us begging one question, and the question is, how? How does the Spirit do this? How does the Spirit render aid into the prayer life of a Christian? How does the Spirit help us in our weakness when we don't know what to pray? That's where we're headed this morning. You know, as we ponder this question, I'll be the first to admit that as Christians, we tend to have the tendency of getting a little creative when it comes to the Holy Spirit. A couple years ago, my wife, she sent me this video clip, and yes, we are that couple that sends each other reels throughout the day. Sends me this video of a woman named China Phillips, a former pop star from the early 90s. She's about to compete on this celebrity episode of Family Feud with Steve Harvey. Maybe you've seen this clip. And just before she competes, she says, "Wait a minute, Steve, hold on." And she proceeds to do a little dance and starts swaying side to side. And she says the words, "Holy Spirit, activate. Holy Spirit, activate." And it's just this outrageous scene. Everybody's laughing. In fact, Steve Harvey, even he joins in. It's just this crazy scene where they're just asking the Holy Spirit to get activated. And to be clear, there's nothing wrong with doing a little dance and lifting up a short prayer, asking for God's Spirit to move. But the assumption I did want to challenge is the assumption that the Holy Spirit works in a superstitious manner, where the Holy Spirit needs to be activated to help us raise our chances of winning. Because as we look at the Scriptures, what we discover is that the Spirit is already moving, is always active in the heart of every believer. On this note, I love how an author, John Mark Comer, critiques popular views of God's Spirit. Here's what he writes: "The Holy Spirit is not a vague force like in Star Wars, an eternal sea of non-being, as in Eastern mysticism, or a nice feeling one gets in prayer. But in Jesus' teachings, the Spirit is a person. A person who is fully God, who is one with the Father and Jesus the Son. The Spirit is our divine advocate and helper who indwells the heart of every Christian forever." John 14:16, 2 Corinthians 1:22. So with all this said, returning to my original question, how does the Spirit help us in our weakness when we don't know what to pray? Paul, in our text, he leaves us with two remarkable truths about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Two truths that I pray would encourage all of us this morning when it comes to enrolling in the school of prayer. And the first thing Paul says is this: the Holy Spirit helps us to pray by joining us in our groaning. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray by joining us in our groaning. If you'd read with me beginning in verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Now, at the beginning of this verse, the word "likewise" at the start of verse 26, it presses us to look at the preceding passage in Romans chapter 8. And as we do so, what we find is a vivid description of suffering in the form of groans. Because of sin, not only has the whole of creation been groaning, verse 22, followers in Christ have been groaning as well, verse 23. And for this reason, Paul urges us to place our hope in the promise of future glory. So with this in mind, when we get to verse 26, Paul is doing several things. First, he's reiterating the same point that weakness and groaning are a given in this life. In fact, the word that he uses here for weakness is a comprehensive term that covers the whole range of the human experience. Sadness and death, discouragement, conflict, all of the above. Yet at the same time, Paul is also highlighting in particular the weakness we experience in prayer. Moments when all we can do is let out a groan because suffering has stripped us of our vocabulary. Given this background, and Paul says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. What he's saying is that just as the promise of future glory helps us in our suffering, the ministry of the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Now, regarding this idea of the Spirit's help, the wording that Paul uses here means to take hold of together or join in with one another in the providing of help. So when we put this into context, what Paul is saying is that the Spirit helps us by joining us to labor together side by side as partners in prayer. David Garland explains the Spirit's help like this. This image means that believers do not sit on the sidelines while the Spirit does all the work. The Spirit aids us in our weakness by imparting a power that we do not have so that we can carry a share of the load. Nevertheless, the Spirit does get the short end of the stick, so to speak, and does the heavy lifting. What Dr. Garland is saying is that as we wrestle to pray, the Spirit does not remove all of our weakness altogether, but rather he rolls up his sleeves and he joins us and helps us to lift our heavy burdens. I could illustrate it like this. A few weeks ago, a few of us at the church, we went to help a family from our congregation move a sofa up a few flights of stairs. To make a long story short, the first one was pretty easy. It was a love seat, so it went right up, praise the Lord. But the second sofa was a full-sized three-seater. And the hallway was narrow, and so the sofa got stuck at the entrance of the staircase. Personally, I was on the bottom of the stairs trying to push, but the space was so awkward. I didn't have the right angle. I had no leverage. And it was right around then that I started to notice the humidity and the heat. Sweat began to flow, and then all of a sudden, my mouth started to let out some noises of discomfort. Praise the Lord. I brought Brother Derek Somerville, our worship director, with me. And Derek was on the other side of the sofa, standing on the stairs. And what Derek did was this. He pulled and he lifted the sofa over himself, sacrificing his body. I couldn't see him, but in my imagination, I'm pretty sure he let out a war cry of sorts. And with his help, we pushed the sofa through the entrance, and we got it upstairs. We took it to the second floor. And friends, that's what Paul is saying when it comes to the Spirit and what he does for us in prayer. The Spirit joins us in our labor, and he lifts our heavy burden. He pulls from one end while we push from the other. And in the process, the Holy Spirit, who does most of the heavy lifting, check this out, he takes our prayers to a whole nother level. By the way, if you happen to have some sofas that need to get moved, Derek and I have decided not to offer our services any longer. We had some sore muscles the following couple weeks. Well, as we continue to dig in our text regarding the Spirit's help, we discover that the way the Spirit helps us in particular is by joining us in our groaning. Notice again what Paul writes at the end of verse 26. The Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now, without getting too sidetracked, I do think it's worth mentioning here that some have interpreted this verse as God imparting the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. This, however, is not the case in this particular text, because in Scripture, speaking in tongues involves a person expressing audible words that can be interpreted and understood. 1 Corinthians 14:27. But here in our text, Paul is referring to unspoken groanings that are void of any language. wordless, soundless, inarticulate groanings that are too deep for words. For I could say it like this, what Paul is referring to is praying with the depth of our emotions, our longings, our affections. On this note, if I could draw your attention once again back to verse 26, this is where things get really interesting. What Paul is saying that as we groan, the Holy Spirit joins us in our groaning by groaning himself. The Holy Spirit joins us in the prayer closet of our hearts, and he starts using up all the Kleenex as he joins us in pleading before God the Father Almighty. John Stott, he explains it like this. The Holy Spirit identifies with our groans, with the pain of the world and of the church, and shares in the longing for the freedom of both. We and he groan together. Another scholar explains it like this. The Holy Spirit causes the groans which emanate from our heart to become the vehicle of his intercession to the Heavenly Father. In other words, there is a supernatural synergy that occurs between our weakness and God's Spirit. So friends, here's the good news. This is where and how this impacts our prayer life. It's summarized well in this picture on the screen. Brothers and sisters, what Paul is saying to us today is this. Your wordless prayers are more than enough. Your cries and your groans are welcomed by God. Your weakness in prayer is sufficient for the Spirit. You're never alone in your sighing and groaning. If I could pause here and ask just a couple questions. Church family, what are the areas in your life for which you don't have the words to pray? Where you feel stuck at the bottom of the stairs and you've lost your will to push? What God's word is saying to us today is this. Don't underestimate what the Spirit can do with your groans. The same Spirit who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think according to the power that is at work within us. Ephesians 3:20. Thanks be to God. As we continue in our text, not only does the Spirit join us in our groaning, Paul highlights yet a second truth when it comes to the ministry of God's Spirit. He says this, the Holy Spirit perfects our prayers according to God's will. The Holy Spirit perfects our prayers according to God's will. Returning to verse 27, moving on to verse 27, this particular text, it begins with a description of God's omniscience, which we see in that phrase, and he who searches hearts. This, without question, is referring to our all-knowing Heavenly Father, who is the searcher of hearts, a prominent theme throughout the Old Testament scripture. For example, we see this in 1 Chronicles 28:9. The Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought, meaning God can read all of us like a book, and God knows our hearts intimately. So with this in mind, when Paul writes just after this description of God's omniscience, we find a description of God's unity, his perfect and essential unity with the Spirit. When Paul writes, God knows the mind of the Spirit, he's saying that God understands the Spirit clearly and perfectly, which makes sense because as members of the Trinity, they together are one. So with this in mind, when Paul writes, the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God, he's inferring that the same holds true for the Spirit of God. Just as the Father knows the Spirit knows the will of the Father. Something we also see in 1 Corinthians 2:11. No one can comprehend the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. All this to say, what Paul is getting at here in verse 27 is that in light of God's omniscience, his all-knowing, And in light of God's perfect unity with the Spirit who is praying for us and in us and through us, he helps us pray according to the will of God. The Spirit ministers to our hearts and prompts us to pray, even in our groaning, the words of Christ himself, "Not my will, but yours be done." And in the process, the Spirit, he renders our prayers effective and perfect, meaning he takes our groanings and he makes sure that they are perfectly understood by the Father, just as much as the prayers of Jesus himself, who is interceding for us right now at the right hand of God, according to Romans 8:34. With all this said, I'll be the first to admit that these concepts that we're delving into are difficult to grasp because they're spiritual in nature and there's nothing really like it around us. Even so, if I could try and use an imperfect illustration and try to explain it like this, Ligon Duncan, a longtime pastor, and he's a chancellor of a seminary, tells a story about his younger brother, Mel, who had a seizure during their childhood in their home that they grew up in. Ligon was about 10 at the time, and he recalls seeing his younger brother, Mel, with his lips turning blue and his face turning pale. And just as his parents started administering CPR, Ligon's father turned to him and said, "Ligon, go downstairs and call Dr. Wyatt. Tell her to meet us at the hospital." And in Ligon's own words, here's what happened next. "I managed to dial the number, but when Dr. Wyatt's nurse answered, all I could say was, 'My brother needs help. My brother needs help.' And to every question that the dear nurse tried to ask me, I only had one response: 'My brother needs help.' I didn't know what to do. I dialed the number, but I didn't know what to say. I didn't know the words. I had no idea. And at just that moment, my father came, and he lifted the phone from my hand and explained to the nurse everything that was happening and everything that they needed." And friends, that's what the Spirit does with our prayers. The Spirit helps us to do the will of our Father. But when the words don't come, he perfects our prayers. He translates our silence and our sighs before God and ensures that our prayers are perfectly understood. So, church family, here's the bottom line. The effectiveness of our prayers does not rest on us, on our eloquence, on our verbiage, on the precision of our wording. But the hope of our prayers rests in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If I could borrow from the words of Carolyn Nystrom, an author of almost 80 books, I love how she summarizes this concept. She says, "God fixes our prayers on the way up." Here's the full quote: "Don't fret, just pray. God fixes our prayers on the way up. And if he does not answer the prayer we made, he will answer the prayer we should have made. And that is all anyone needs to know." This is the beauty of Romans 8:27. This is the beauty of the ministry of God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit perfects our prayers according to God's will, and for that reason alone, we can pray with confidence. With confidence and joy and assurance as beloved children of God. As we close, one of the most encouraging things about our passage for today is that it's written by the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul, the same person who wrote Ephesians 3:14-20, which is arguably the most beautiful, powerful, impactful prayer in all of the Scripture. Yet despite Paul being an expert in prayer, he humbly includes himself in our passage for today when he says the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for. As I was thinking about it, that's when it hit me. Paul did indeed know about the pain of weakness, meaning his letter to the Romans was based on firsthand experience. If you remember, Paul is the one who struggled, perhaps for the whole of his life, with a mysterious thorn in his flesh, which he pleaded day and night for God to remove. Remember his words in 2 Corinthians. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that he should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Church family, if I could leave you with this charge, rejoice in your weakness. Rejoice in your weakness. Because your weakness is the stage on which we see God's power.
Amen. Amen.
As we learn today, this is especially true with prayer. When we don't know what to pray, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. When we don't know what to pray, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. The same Spirit who joins us in our groaning, the same Spirit who fixes our prayers on the way up, the same Spirit who will continue to help us until the day that our groans give way to glory, when Jesus returns or takes us home. Thanks be to God for the promises of his word. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, breath of God, and fire of love, we cannot pray without your aid. Kindle in us the fire of your love and illumine us with your light, that with a steadfast will and holy thoughts we may approach the Father in spirit and in truth through Jesus Christ our Lord, who reigns with you and the Father in eternal union. Amen.